The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse. Hello, Otto.
Hello, John. You're moving around. Good.
We're changing things up a bit here today. We're going to start with the talk of the town, a.k.a. Christina Liu show first. And
how's this?
Okay.
That's good.
We had a little bit of a confusion. It was 100% on my side. And now we're good. Hello, Christina. How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Good. John's looking good. Otto, it's good to see you.
You too, Christina.
I want to start off the show today. We're going to be talking about several different things, and our special guest will be coming on at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Versus our normal 10 o'clock. But somebody sent me something, and it was so true that I just wanted to read it. I couldn't even paraphrase it, so I figured it made more sense to read it. And I got this yesterday, which was September 10th. And on this day, September 10th, 19 years ago, 246 people went to sleep in preparation for their morning flights. 2,606 people went to sleep in preparation for working the following day. 343 firefighters went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift. 60 police officers went to sleep in preparation for their morning patrol. 8 paramedics went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift. However, by 10:30 the following morning, all of them were dead. And that is what happened, and that's what's being remembered this morning. It is only 10 o'clock when we start this show, but literally within a half hour time, it's the 19th anniversary. And we're talking about, you know, and I'm rounding the number 3,000 people, but then extrapolate that into how many families and friends. You know, the death of one person right here between the three of us talking affects the other two. We're a family. And so, you know, and then that affects the next person and the next person. And it changed history. And it changed respect for people. And it changed how we view things. I mean, guess what? Is the world perfect? Unfortunately, it's still not. You know, 19 years later. And you do try to commemorate these days because it's important. It's not that you want to keep something sad alive, okay? What you really got to try to do is keep the memory of the people who died alive, and more importantly, try to remember why they died. It was senseless. It was useless. And the only thing that came out of it is hopefully a little bit more respect and love for human life. And other than that, I have nothing to say. So that's it. Okay. Goodbye. No.
Hey, John.
But really, after that, what do you say? Go ahead, Otto.
Well, you couldn't have said it any better. I mean, it's an event that I happened to the day before. You talked about the day before. I was coming home from the Jet game with two of my grandsons in the car. And we went over the George Washington Bridge. And when you go over the George Washington Bridge from Jersey and you look to the right, there's a beautiful view of the city, which at that point, I remember we commented about how beautiful it looked, and the World Trade Center was in the view that we talked about. And lo and behold, 12 hours later, the building wasn't there anymore.
Wow.
And you know, that that registered in my head afterward. I mean, we were lucky in a sense that we had nobody directly affected. I had a daughter-in-law who worked right there, and she was all full of soot. and had to come home on a ferry boat out of Staten Island. And my one son is a volunteer, and he was down there, but nobody was affected through a life being lost. So we knew a lot of people who knew a lot of people, which I think most of us probably did. But it changed so many things that, you know, the need to have security like we never had it before at an airport or wherever. Anytime you go to an event, you're scrutinized because of the fear that somebody else is going to try something stupid and, like you said, senseless, just taking people's lives for what? For no reason, because they're hypocritically nuts about one topic, whatever it may be. You know, it was a terrible day, and the days after it weren't so hot either. You know?
No, it took a while. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
You know, my oldest daughter, I think both you guys know it, my oldest daughter had cancer twice, and it took her 6 years to get through college, but she started in Indiana, and then she was home for a year with chemo, and then she transferred to NYU. That was literally her first or second day back at school.
Oh, my God.
The phones were terrible, and I finally got her. And where was she going? She was walking towards the World Trade Center. I remember I said, honey, you're going in the wrong direction. I don't care what you do. Just turn around and walk uptown. Don't go downtown. You know, she was following the crowd. And yeah. I don't know why people seem. And we fortunately had an aunt, who still do, who lived on 29th Street. I said, just get up there to her. That's all you got to do at this point. Because, and I never heard from her again for hours, to be honest with you, which was terrible. But the phone, I don't remember if they were busy. I don't know what you got from the phone. All I knew, you couldn't get through. And I was lucky at least to have one conversation. I knew she was okay, but just go in the right direction. You know, just, you're going wrong. I mean, it was over at that point. All she would have been doing was walking into soot, but that's not the point. And how many people, you know, waited for 24 hours to hear from somebody? And again, I'm talking, I had a daughter. So, I mean, the parent, I mean, that makes a difference. A partner, a loved one, a spouse, to be involved in that waiting game, you know, it was terrible. That's all there was to it.
The golf course I golf at is Douglaston, which is a public golf course. And
yeah, okay.
From Douglaston, you have a beautiful view of the city on a clear day, which back in yesteryear included the World Trade Center. And the man who was working behind the counter, like a hot dog snack stand kind of counter, his son was chef in the World Trade Center. And he looked out and he saw, and between television and actually being able to see the smoke and everything from Douglaston, he thought his son, he worked as a chef in the restaurant on the top, he thought his son was there. And,
oh my God.
You know, yeah, and the long story short of it is he couldn't communicate either. Cell phones weren't anywhere near as good as they are today.
Absolutely.
You know, 19 years later. And it took a long time before he found out his son actually didn't go to work that day. And he didn't know that. And he, you know, he was like a basket case, which you can understand.
100%.
You know? I mean, there's so many stories. It's
That's, you know, everyone, like John had said, was touching. You know, I saw that thing, John, that you read, and that was just something, you know, that like really just sticks out at you. And then someone, I was looking through things, and there was this really nice one from Deepak Chopra, and it said, "For me and my family personally, September 11th was a reminder that life is fleeting, impermanent, and uncertain. Therefore, we must make use of every moment and nurture with affection, tenderness, beauty, creativity, and laughter." So, you know, it's like, it's these after effects, you know, and I think that that's what this day also brings, you know, just on a more general sense for people is just, you know, remembering, I mean, the fear and the terror and the shocking and, you know, so much in life, these things happen that, you know, come out of nowhere, you know, and what just sticks to me is when just seeing people really pull together. And that's something I don't want people to forget, you know, especially in this kind of climate. I think it's just an important thing to see. You know, I mean, everyone was so proud to be a New Yorker and to really Ben and these the first responders. I mean, just seeing what was going on. You know, I was in high school at the time, I remember.
Oh, just, you know, I'm just thinking as you're talking, you were a baby.
Yeah, I was in high school and I remember, you know, we were all in there. And, you know, I went to so many of my friends' parents, I mean, worked in the city. So, and I remember that cell phone. I remember all of us outside trying to call and no one knew what was happening. You know, it wasn't like media wasn't the same then as it is now, you know, so it was a lot of like confusion, like what was going on. And I remember calling my mom, of course, and what actually my dad at the time was roofing and he was at a job in the city. So he was on top of a roof when this happened and saw it going down, and he had ran down to some local shop and got a disposable camera because he didn't know what the heck was happening. So he took, of course, my dad took pictures, and in true fashion, my dad took solace because he couldn't come home. He found a local pub and rode out the storm in the pub because he was like, there is no way I'm getting home. We didn't know any, we didn't have any family that lived in the city. So, you know, he made the best of the situation, I suppose, and did that. But it's just, you know, I think this day, you know, when I look on social media and you just see people recounting things. But I think it really most importantly serves as a reminder how important it is for people to band together and to get through. You know, I mean, it's obviously, you know, everyone had compared this to the current like pandemic situation, you know, and if we look right now, listen, we're not in exactly how it used to be, but the fact that New York, I mean, really pulled together in remarkable ways again, you know, in this situation. So it's something that certainly resonates in this time.
You know, something that Dan Cox mentioned about a week ago about journalism emphasizing the bad, and 9/11 is as bad as it gets, in my opinion, or that could be worse, but that's pretty bad. And I think what one of the things that we all have to try to remember is that it's not all of society who's doing this. It's yeah. Like 0.1% of humanity creates all this havoc, and all like even the riots and the protests and whatnot, the people who are burning houses and trucks and cars and doing all kinds of stupid things that they should be arrested for, in my opinion, is a small percentage of the people. But what it does is it seems to like put everybody into a bad category. And, you know, and I don't know how you get around that. It's like, you know, the world then becomes like very negative, if you will. And it's really a very, very, very small percent of the population that creates all this stuff, if you will.
You know? I know, because it's, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, we had touched upon it last week, too, because it's those negative, shocking, you know, images and stories are what gets, I mean, look, essentially that's the point of tabloids, you know, with, so it's like, it's all these shocking headlines and horrible stories, you know, so it's, but I think all we can do, you know, is just personally spread the positive messages, you know, and if enough people do it, then it'll add up and hopefully be a bigger thing, you know, so.
No, I agree with Christina 100% there. Take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org, and we'll be right back.